먹어.
막 누구?
야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야야
Spice.
Is the essence of Spice World.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
You can't handle the truth. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
I am the Third Revolution.
I am so much crazier.
I am the one who knocks.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Nice day, big boy, huh? That's proper.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
3PO! Come in, 3PO!
Because this is Facing Off, a podcast where we take two similar bits of entertainment and we compare, contrast, and rate them. Today, we're taking two space epics. We're going to do Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, versus Dune, Part 1. I am Gabe, and joined with me is Princess Layla.
Oh.
And Chewbacca. Nick.
I feel like I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nick is Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Nick's not here.
Yeah, what's your middle
name?
What's your middle name? John?
James.
Ah, fuck. Okay, well, we're going to do these two movies that are loosely related.
Loosely?
Well, Star Wars is based off of Dune, and Dune is based off of... Well, it's like inspired by... The original Star Wars,
borrowed
A New
from?
Hope, was borrowed... What's called borrowed from...
Oh, we will
Frank
discuss
Herbert's
this.
Novel.
It's the Fremen name for Dune.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So let's get into it, guys. How did you, well, let's start out with Dune Part 2 has been out for a little bit. What did you guys think now that we've seen the completed book one of Dune?
Spice's life.
Yeah, Spice's life and
Spice's bussin'.
Yeah, it's so magic. I mean, I'm allowed to talk about part two right now, right? Like,
yeah.
You're asking me?
I wouldn't. Yeah. We don't need to spoil anything,
yeah.
I guess. But, yeah.
I mean, I think it's possible that Dune Part 2 is like one. It is like the greatest sci-fi movie ever made. It is remarkable. It is unbelievably remarkable. And I'm actually glad we're doing this now that part two is out, because part two actually makes me appreciate part one a whole lot more than I did the first time I saw part one. Yeah. I feel like the way these movies meld together and the purpose behind what happens in part one is so evident when you see part two, which just makes you appreciate the thoughtfulness in the first movie. I think what they did was remarkable, and I absolutely love both of them so much.
And Nick, what did you think about the new movie, Hope? A New Hope?
Yeah.
No, Nick, what do you feel like? Did
never seen
watching
it before.
The new Dune movies make you? Do you like them more than the Star Wars films?
I just think that it's so
big questions.
No.
But does it make you wish that Star Wars was in the kind of mold of Dune?
It makes me definitely wish that Star Wars was kept in the time capsule it should have been kept in for the moment that it was released in and what it became and lasted as. Because it's just like so... Like, the original trilogy isn't really, like, Star Wars anymore. Like, everything is Star Wars. Star Wars is life.
Yeah, it's basically that meme about how everything is actually cake, but it's just Star Wars.
But it's
is
just
everywhere
everything
now.
Is Star Wars. But no, I don't, like, I can't say definitively that I like any one of those franchises more than the other one, because, like, their purpose and their aesthetic... And
their tone is so different.
Their tone, like why you put them on,
yeah.
is so different. You're not gonna like put on Dune to just have like a fun time with your boys.
I mean, I would.
You might put on Star Wars: A New Hope to do that.
Yeah, you would do.
You also like won't really show Dune to your kids necessarily.
Yeah, no.
Whereas you would put on, like, I watched A New Hope with my like dad and brothers, and like you know, like rewatched them later with them, and like kind of marathon mode, and they fell asleep 15 minutes into Empire Strikes Back. Like, those are the things you. Those are, like, that I think is the biggest difference to me, is you're not going to put on Dune for like little guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And they've been able to, like, you're never going to get like a Dune theme park, like, but you're going to get a Star Wars theme park, because
we did get those, like, buckets, you know, those popcorn buckets.
Oh yeah,
never
the Dune
forget.
Popcorn buckets. They were absolutely for eating popcorn and nothing else.
Dark and gross.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Let's break these movies down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So normally we do 5 categories and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 7. Guess what? We're going to take that normal path, but instead we're going to kind of, instead of like calling them a specific kind of category, we're going to talk about some themes and some ways of kind of differentiating these two movies. So,
and then how will we rate them?
Yeah, I think at the end we will rate them, all of these categories that we normally use. We're going to give it like a score. Each person is going to give it out of 35.
Okay.
And you could get a 7 in 5 different parts.
We're just going wild tonight. You know,
we're basically just doing the same thing. It's just I'm going to ask a little bit of different questions. I'm going to moderate this one.
We're spicing it up.
We are spicing it up, and spice is power.
Our eyes are blue.
Let's start like with the elephant in the room.
Shit.
Oh.
Sorry, Nick. You didn't need to say what when I said that, but called yourself out. Let's talk about how A New Hope is basically taken from Dune. Layla, you said you had a lot of thoughts on that. Talk about, like, we're going to talk about originality here.
Yeah.
Like, when you go back, have you read Frank Herbert's novel,
Dune? Yes.
Okay.
I have.
After you read it and you go back to Star Wars, does that affect your appreciation of the originality of Star Wars, or is it still original enough in what it's done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking about it a lot while watching, because it had been a really long time since I had seen the 4th Star Wars.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm like, I definitely watched all the original Star Wars movies a lot when I was a kid, but I'm realizing I don't think I've watched them a lot as an adult. So this rewatch was a fun experience, I think, for me.
You're more of like a Phantom Menace person as an adult.
Oh, yeah. So me, you know, love those movies. Yeah. No, I mean, it was super fun. I think, I don't know. I mean, I get the internet conversation around it. Like, it is so, I think it's like, as someone who loves reading and someone who cares a lot about like screenwriting and filmmaking, I think it does bother me to a certain extent that George Lucas was just like, this seems like a cool idea. Let me just play right off of this. But, you know, there are so many parts of Star Wars that certainly are just trademarked into that world, you know, like I was thinking a lot about like the creatures and the different species that exist and the quirkiness of the way that they all talk to each other and the way that he approached the storyline. Cause I feel like like we were saying, the tone of these movies is really different. And, you know, the idea of imperialism and colonization and these big, like these rebellion forces and things like that, like that's not necessarily the most original idea on the planet. I mean, you're basing it off of history and you're basing it off of a lot of different things. You're basing it off of Greek mythology. You're basing it off of like a million things. So it's not, I certainly think on this rewatch, after seeing that conversation play out so heavily on the internet, I'm not quite as like on that angry side where I'm like, wow, you just ripped this completely off. Like, there are definitely, there's so much to Star Wars that is just its own thing, that like there's a reason people gravitated towards Star Wars the way that they did, and why families sat down and watched it together, and why we say those lines and those characters are so famous, and the love story that was created out of those movies is so one of a kind. So yeah, I don't know. I think my point is I was very much angry when the conversation got brought up. And then when I rewatched New Hope, I was like, oh, I'm not that angry about it anymore. So
yeah.
I think that's kind of where I landed.
And Nick, conversely, so now that we've gotten the Dune movies, it's, you know, we just had the newest one in 2024. And I think the first one was what, 2021?
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel like the Dune movies themselves, like the cinematic experience, builds off of other sci-fi movies, stands apart from it? Does it feel like, is there something unique about the visual experience that you get with that and the story and everything now that you're seeing it, you know, like 50, 60 years after Frank Herbert wrote the book?
Yeah, I think it's unique. But I do agree, like, with what Layla said, like, it's not like these, the elements of either story are like brand new to anybody. What I think is unique about Dune is just that you have Denis taking this epic and making it as visually, like, cinematically epic as he possibly could, and just carrying out this, like, aesthetic vision to the nth degree. He tends to do that a lot. Is he the only one that's ever done that? No. Like, you can look at, like, Ridley Scott and
Stanley Kubrick.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's just, I think what's unique about it is you have this, or not unique about it, but what's so impactful about it is you have this visionary director with a level that he wanted to achieve at, and he hit the level that he wanted to achieve at. And that's what I think is so, why it's so, just captured everything about, you know, any cinephile's, you know, imagination, and why people are going back to see it again and again in theaters, is because that's what I think its biggest, the biggest thing about it is, why, what makes it stand out and makes Dune 2 possibly the best sci-fi movie of all time. You know, yeah. Like you said, it's not going to build, you're not going to build a theme park. There's probably not going to be a bunch of Paul Atreides action figures out there. You know, like, there's not, you don't have the cute, cuddly creatures and the cool looking, you know, there's no X-Wings and Y-Wings and A-Wings and Millennium Falcons, and there's no, there is a Dune video game. I think out there somewhere on the way, but you know, you probably don't have that same sort of marketing engine behind it. But like you said, the dragonfly thing is cool looking, and there's probably some toys.
Yeah.
I think what makes it stand out particularly and separates it from Star Wars is that it's this, like, really dark story, and Denis does not shy away from it.
Yeah. I feel like
leans into it.
Yeah. To your point, like, I feel like what I think I loved the most about it is that so many of these, like, sci-fi and fantasy movies that touch on important, like, good versus evil political concepts, like, do get kind of childlike at times. Like, if we think about, like, Harry Potter or some of these other, like, fantasy-like stories where it's, like, there is important conversations happening in the background, but they kind of make it accessible to everybody. I love that Dune isn't necessarily accessible to everybody. Like, I like that it is a political drama.
Dipshits, like, I can't like it.
I like that it's really smart. You know, like, I think that it leans into the intellect of it all. It leans into, you know, the political drama. And yes, the sci-fi and the beauty and everything that you said is there, and that's what magnifies it. But I do really enjoy that this was not necessarily built for all audiences. Like, this really is built for people to kind of, like, feel the darkness of it all and feel
It's sci-fi, not sci-fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sci-fantasy.
And on that note, I mean, it's a great point, because, and this is why we focus on Dune Part 1 with A New Hope. Like, both of these are the hero's tale, you know? It's someone rising as this chosen one, or someone that could potentially be this chosen one. Mm-hmm. And there's all these forces in play. There's all these other people that have like bigger agendas that are going on and putting them right in the center. And they have a lot of purpose, and they have to grow up very, very fast. And you see that in both of these. And I think that A New Hope probably gives you this like, oh wow, there's this like ancient art form of Jedi powers that is building up that this society has like completely forgotten about, but meanwhile they're taken over by the Empire. That is in itself like a groundbreaking type of way of watching a world building movie. But then you get Dune Part One, that's also like in a completely different way. It's about like essentially what we see in like Spider-Man, like with great power comes great responsibility. You may not want to be the chosen one. You may not want to be the heir to this huge, one of the great houses, but you are, and you're going to be chosen for this. And it's all about how you respond to that. And so, I mean, like they're both original in their own ways, but I now want to talk about, like, we could keep on the originality type thing, but go a little bit more into the eye candy. Star Wars, when Star Wars came out, it was, like, absolutely groundbreaking. Like, a completely different way of visualizing what sci-fi could be. It's so much world building. I mean, the very first scene is this huge ship coming into the sky, and you're seeing this, like, mm-hmm. space station. And these people with these, like using the force and these lightsabers and stuff. And it was incredible. But then you get Dune Part One, and you got this absolutely visionary director who is just so well known now for having these like the top tier cinematographers doing things you've never seen before. So talk a little bit about like the visuals, like maybe Layla, we start with you with Dune Part One. How you felt, like, What were the visual standouts in that movie? What were the things that were completely unique that you had never seen before, even as a huge sci-fi fan?
I mean, I think one of my favorite things about this genre and about fantasy in general is watching someone's interpretation of something that's written, or like their idea of this world, and like even the way that Denis decided to go about like creating these different civilizations, like when we start off where the Atreides are and their original home planet and where they were, and then going to Arrakis, and like it's really stunning to see the imaginative mind and how they decided to portray these places. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, like the cinematography, the shots, the all of it's stunning. It's beautiful. I love the way the movie's shot. I think even just visually, the costuming, the way they make them look, all of it is so beautiful and important, and it plays such an important role. And I feel like, you know, in a movie where so much of the shot is desert, like so much of it is just kind of this blank canvas in a lot of ways, he just does such a powerful job of, you know, making it still feel so stunning at the same time. Like for so much of the movie, I mean, once they leave the city and they're out in the desert, like I still feel so visually engaged, even though it's just these characters running around on dunes, which is powerful. That says so much about his ability to create a story out of so little visually. I think it's absolutely one of a kind. Were you asking me about both of them or just Dune?
I was kind of doing like a little back and forth here, yeah. But you could talk about A New Hope. I was just, I wanted to hear like from Nick, like what are the things that you still think about like visually with A New Hope? You know, even as we've gotten movies that are better and better made, you know, with these effects and everything, what are the things that have standed the test of time that really like speak to you visually?
The things that speak to me are like, well, I'll talk about what it spoke to me as a kid, because I had a lot of action figures.
Nerd.
Well, Phantom Menace came out what year?
We were kids. It was like 2001. Yeah.
So they marketed all of those the original trilogy super hard right before that came out. So I bought a lot of X-Wings, big Y-Wing guy.
Oh, wow.
So I was mostly attracted to the the space aspect, the ships, the like vehicles, the
costuming is
the
fucking
know, like the way that the stormtroopers look, and that the aesthetic of Darth Vader and how iconic of a villain that is, and unique at as of a villain really that is, and how like lasting that image is. So those are the kinds of images that stuck out to me as a kid. It was a lot of like what these vehicles and costumes and villains look like, and how different that part is to me. Dune doesn't necessarily have those elements, but it's not trying to. It has the more, you know, you're again, like you're looking at something that's marketed towards adults who want to go see an epic movie. But also the ideas in it are much more adult and sinister. And
I also feel like those same ideas like play into that a little bit too, because I feel like Dune is like living a little bit more in reality in some ways, in the sense of like trying to depict real life political like stuff that is happening and has happened. So I feel like they do kind of want to humanize it a little bit. And if they make it too out of world, then it's like, I feel like they don't want that political part to get lost either. At least that was like my feeling while I was watching
they
it.
They almost like make a lot of the visuals and like the tools that they use like kind of ancient, you know, like, you know, how the, when you're the House Atreides, whenever they're in their like palaces, that light comes up to like, comes up to them so they can see, and then it walks with them as they go in, and it looks like this old like lantern that has taken them through that. And like all of the visual, when he's watching all the films or whatever, it's like very old style. It's like almost like you're watching one of those.
Doesn't Herbert write about how there's like a robot uprising in the past and they squash all the robots?
Yeah, so there's actually they AI like
is like we're not down.
Their AI gets really, really intense and it goes up against them, and so they actually revert backwards in the way that, like, this is not in Dune Part One, but in Part Two when she does like her journal and stuff like that. Like they stop using AI because they realize that they need to still use their minds. Like they saw themselves deteriorating against AI, so they like wanted to continue to like grow and be powerful as people, so they like stop using. So yes, they do revert backwards in a lot of capacities on purpose.
Star Wars really just has this very linear, it is a very linear hero's story, and honestly, like A New Hope doesn't even really get into a lot of the politics. It's just big bad versus little good.
Which is
like a very like an appealing story, but it's very simplistic. It's very A and B.
That's really true, and that's kind of like by nature of like how it's building up its world. Whereas like Star Wars is really building up this galaxy, and like Dune is kind of building up a few of the houses that are part of this big galaxy.
And I think that's why the visuals are the way they are, and why they last and make so much sense to everybody in Star Wars, is because you have to make the Empire look big and scary and unique and unified and large.
I think there was also this like willingness. I mean, we get it now with like a lot of CGI movies, but there was this willingness to like show, like do as much as possible. Like, just if you're going to build out a set and it's going to cost a lot of money, let's make everyone absurd. So they're going to go into a bar and there's going to be like 50 different types of aliens there, and the camera's going to be going around and stuff. And now when we get that, it's a very CGI focused thing. Like, you're getting a lot of different aliens. It's like zipping around, and you'll see that even in the new Star Wars ones. And I think people are not willing. They don't want to use their budgets for that anymore. And especially if they can get like huge stars, because there weren't that many like big stars. There weren't any big stars in A New Hope, really. They found most of these actors when they were young, and they found some like good character actors on the side. But like with Dune, like a lot of the money has to go to these huge mega stars that they have. But also, like, instead of going the CGI absurdist route, we're taking it very practical with the way that he's doing it. And that is how the book is written. But it's like There's a lot more focus on that. So there is this lasting legacy sort of with the visuals of Star Wars that we're always going to have and we're always going to appreciate. But let's also here's where I think there's like a big differentiator. And you were talking earlier, Nick, about like what the average audience wants to see when they're watching a sci-fi movie. And Layla, you were saying like it might not be that accessible to watch Dune. We always do like spectacularity. We talk about like the engagement levels of these movies. There, I know people, and I get frustrated when I hear this, but they're like,
call them out.
Oh, I can't even watch Dune.
Brisa. What are their names?
I can't even watch Dune Part One. It's so boring. Bene Gesserit made me a freak. they can't even get through the first movie. Just like people couldn't get through Blade Runner 2049. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I am so immersed in this world. There's so much happening. And what's incredible about Dune Part 1 is, you're right, Layla. I mean, like, it really pays off when you see the second one. But what I felt when I saw it was like, I think this is absolutely incredible. And if anything, it just makes me so excited for the next movie. And there's a level of spectacularity, the engagement that gets you ready for this world that I think both of these movies do expertly. Like, I mean, if A New Hope was a boring movie, no one would have wanted to go and see Empire Strikes Back, which ends up being the better movie. So on that note, here's where I think it really differentiates, because you're not really going to find a lot of people that are like, A New Hope, that's so boring. Like, even annoying people that's like, I don't want to watch Star Wars because nerds have ruined that for me. They'll still sit, you could sit down with your family and watch Star Wars, and everyone's going to be at least a bit delighted. Layla, what is, like, for you, what is the engagement? Like, actually, let's do a little sneak preview of, like, what you would say for spectacularity, but, like, talk about, like, what you would give these two movies and what really drives you and what kind of keeps you distracted.
Yeah, I think the way these two movies approach this category is actually, like, very different. And I think I prefer the methods of Dune Part 1 than I do to A New Hope. Like, what I think is so – that we've brought it up a couple times now. Like, what I think is so magical about Dune Part 1 is – how masterfully it sets you up for what Dune Part 2 is going to be. And I like how interconnected the movies feel that way and how much it feels like a fluid story because of it. It's not just this one part of the story and then we're on to Part 2. Like, it all feels like one big story, one momentum. Like, the momentum of both movies flow together, and I really, really love that. And yeah, I think the pacing of the first movie is so smart. I like how we're introduced to everything. I like how I get to know the characters in the beginning of the first one and how it gives me time to kind of latch on to each character and appreciate them. I just think Part 1 is really beautiful and so smart. A New Hope just like kind of throws you in a little. Like, it just starts happening. And that works. I realized upon comparing the two that I think I very much prefer the idea of a Part 1 like Dune, where I'm kind of getting introduced to this world and these people, and I can like build myself into the momentum of the storyline and then go bam when we get to that like finale portion of it. But yeah, A New Hope's obviously like engaging. It's incredibly engaging. It's a lighter tone. There's more comedy involved. There's a lot of like, you know, sweet relational development between the different characters, and there is a lot more characters, I think, that you become attached to, because, you know, yes, Part One has all these side characters, but they all feel pretty small in comparison to your leads. But A New Hope has such a large cast, and you do kind of become attached to all these different characters. I mean, R2-D2 and C-3PO are so important to this movie, and you absolutely adore them and love them, and just as much as you love Princess Leia and Luke. And so yeah, I just think they're really different. I think I would give Dune Part 1 a 6, and then I think I would give A New Hope like a 5 or a 5.5.
Interesting. So yeah. Nick, what do you think about that? And then like also, I mean, So we've seen A New Hope has been out for what, 50 years? Like almost like 45 years.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, and we've seen it a million times. We have this whole Star Wars world that's built up, and Dune is this brand new thing. Like, it's only the past few years. You didn't read the books, but you like are excited by the Dune movies. If you were like gonna rewatch something because you want to be like engaged by it, would you still go back to A New Hope, or would you go to Dune Part One? Like, what still, like, is A New Hope still the more engaging movie to you?
I think so.
Okay. Why?
It's because it's it's supposed to be. It's like made to, it's almost made as if he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make more of them.
Yeah.
Because it just is so true. Extraordinarily linear. Yeah. Like, you just meet, you meet the bad guy, you meet his henchmen, 100%. They look completely unique, completely interesting, and completely engaging. There's pretty much immediately comedic relief with C-3PO and R2-D2. You fall in love with them.
Over here!
You fall in love with them a little bit. Then you go to Tatooine, and you meet Luke. He says that Ben Kenobi lives across the Dune Sea.
What do you mean, old Ben?
Which I thought was fun. He says Dune. There's a Dune Sea.
Ben's like Tatooine. An old hermit. Like, maybe you're talking about him?
Obi-Wan? I don't know an Obi-Wan. I think he's talking about old Ben.
Old Ben?
Kenobi? And then you meet Luke. You fall in love with him. He's got a cool old man badass. And then, And then, it's just bang, 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 bang. Meet cool people. Learn cool things.
Some bodies good guy. Get burned.
Yeah. Good guy destroys the big giant thing called called a Death Star. Like,
yeah,
it's just
like a formula. It just follows the,
it's so formulaic and like wonderful and fantastic and engaging, because there isn't like a period of time where like in Dune, this is very cool, but you want to go to Arrakis just as bad as Paul does. Yeah. But like, they're like, you're not going, man. You don't get to go yet. And you're like, dang, I want to go to Arrakis with Duncan Idaho, dude. Come on. Yeah. But you follow that same path. Like, Dune 1 is so, upon rewatching it, is so a setup for more. Mm-hmm. And that's lovely and amazing, but it isn't as palatable, I don't think. And now, are there absolutely badass sequences in Dune that engage you to the highest level? Yeah, absolutely. The sand compactor scene, I think that's what they're called.
Oh, so cool.
Where Leto dives the dragon, puts it down and it just free falls and the sound goes out.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that's different than the sand compactor, but that is a really cool scene where he just like trusts it. And also when
they're trying to save the sand compactor from getting eaten by the Shailud.
Sorry, the sand compactor is it's like a handheld thing. You're talking about the spice harvester.
Yeah. Yes. They're
important.
Spice amazing scenes in Dune, but I don't think that Spice is life. Spice is bussin'. It's not quite formulaic enough, and it's not intended to be. So, like, no, I don't think Dune is the most engaging movie. I would say Dune 2 is potentially more engaging than any Star Wars movie, outside of maybe Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I agree
with
that, for sure.
But
Dune Part 1, I don't know.
Well, okay, fair. Let's talk about acting. But like performances and characters and stuff specifically. So acting, we typically are talking about the performances, but also like how the director and writers make these performances. And with the, like, I want to focus a little bit on the characters, because I want to, like, there's something really powerful about watching A New Hope and having this big bad named Darth Vader, who's a hothead, will kill any of his henchmen at any moment, and is in this like dark cloak. He has a red lightsaber. He's breathing weird. Which I guess is like honestly, like dude sounds like he has asthma. It's not like that tough. But you get that, and then you get like, is the Baron Harkonnen as creepy and scary as Darth Vader? Like, do you feel the sense of danger that's happening based on those performances and like the characters themselves? Layla goes,
I mean, I have like a very controversial take here. I've like never considered Darth Vader to be like villainous to me, like at all. Like, I've never.
Because he's a good guy in real, like deep down.
Because I see the good in
you
him.
Just knew, no. You just knew. Yeah. You knew he was really good deep down. Like, he
no,
could have been.
I don't know if it's like, I have no idea.
Like, he was the chosen one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that we were the generation that grew up unfortunately watching the like new three, and like all yeah. I can see when I see Darth Vader is like Anakin under that helmet, and I just, he's such a yeah. little bitch that like,
you're
I
not
just,
with
I can't...
me, you're my enemy.
I literally
did
I just
you see
can't...
the original trilogy before you saw the
no I had seen four no five way, six dude. Of course before no I saw
okay
I was saying no to of course I had seen the originals before I saw
but now they're painted with
but yeah, I just feel like it's in my head now like I just like I yeah. can't yeah. I wonder if it's the same for a lot of people. I can't get rid of the image of little bitch Anakin like under that black cloak. I just I've never and even I don't know I just never I've never really felt like Darth Vader was like the scariest of villains to me. So I
but did
do
you
kind
feel
of
the power of the Empire being scary, like an actual threat to all of life.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say I feel like the Death
women.
Star itself is scarier than Darth Vader.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's pretty scary. It blows up a planet.
Yeah. It can just take everyone out. But yeah, I had a little, like, I feel like part of the reason in Spectacularity I gave A New Hope a little bit of a harder score is because I have a very hard time with the acting in A New Hope.
Mm, yeah. Speak on that. It is tough. Like,
it's kind of tough,
the original
guys.
Star Wars
like,
movies.
It's
like,
tough.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
it's
a lot of
funny.
Bad
like, it's yeah. like, it's like kitschy and it's funny and we can like laugh about it, but there are some moments where it's just like really bad. Like, there, Luke is not like a great actor in this first movie.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Which is wild to me because, like, a lot of people are like, well, come on, that's Star Wars, it's campy. I was like, you could still have really good acting. Or, like, people are like, it's just older, you know? It's mm-hmm. it
just doesn't
age. I don't
think Harrison Ford is bad.
He's not bad. There are a lot of scenes where I'm just like, these are very much, like, amateur actors.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I mean, Mark Hamill is he's doing a funny thing the whole time.
Yeah, I just wonder, I mean, like, you could go back and watch, like, the 70s is like the one of the golden eras of film, and like there are very good actors at that time.
Was there anything in this movie that you noticed in this rewatch, I should say, that you'd never noticed in A New Hope, Layla?
Like, I had never noticed. I mean, yeah. I had never this yeah, is not
maybe specifically related to acting.
Yeah, I, like, had never realized how annoying I found Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Like, I had always just, in my head, she was Princess Leia and she was a badass female character, but she's pretty fucking annoying in this movie, honestly. Like, yeah, I don't know why movie. She's, they come to save her and she's
so
such a bitch. Like,
yeah.
Why is she so bitchy? Like,
that's really just victim blaming of you, but you're right.
No, I just, it was, like, kind of
she
jarring
was ready to
a
be
little
a
bit.
Martyr.
Like, I yeah. just was like, what is this writing of her character? Like, she can be, I feel like it was their attempt at the time to make her into a badass. But I feel like it really just it rubs me the wrong way because she's literally just being so mean to these people who are just trying to help her. Like, it's just, it kind of doesn't feel right. So, yeah, that yeah. was a little bit jarring. Yeah. I feel like there's, like, a couple of, like, weird tonal shifts, like, I don't remember his pseudo parents just being fucking burnt to death like that. Like, yeah. Just, oh, when he comes, it's like it's raw. So like sweet and familial up until all of a sudden he comes back and there's literal burnt
Luke.
Bodies. Like
Luke.
Didn't have to show him, but they were like, she no, burnt. We're showing these dead bodies.
George Lucas was like, no, it needs to be graphic.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's fucked up. I mean, like, I just kind of, even with that, I'm like, couldn't we have a better actor in here that's like actually handling the emotional parts of this?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously it's way later and we're talking about like Timothy Chalamet, who's already an established actor.
And I mean, Hamill gets
Dune, but like, he could have been Luke Skywalker if it was made today, and he would have, like, you would have actually felt a lot of the emotions.
Dude, Luke
of the
was
role
sadder when Obi-Wan Kenobi died than he was when his, like, parents that raised
Obi-Wan
him died.
Kenobi. You mean old Ben?
Old yeah. Ben?
I don't know, Obi-Wan. You mean old Ben? Do you think
he just was like, I'm not coming back to this planet. I'm out of here. And he just left after they died. Like, it was like no emotional reaction at all.
My favorite thing that I noticed is that when he first sees Princess Leia in the hologram, I never noticed that he's just like checking her out so hard.
Oh,
that
yeah,
he misses something
like,
that three.
Whoa, is this?
He misses
she's
something that C-3PO says entirely, and he goes, "Wait, what?"
She sounds like she's like in need of help.
He's just staring at her so hard that he's like, "What, huh?" He's like, "No, put her back. Where is she?"
Yeah,
put her back. Put her back. She's hot.
I got that too, and also, like, he's supposed to be a kid, but he looks so much like a full-grown adult that it sounds annoying when he's being a kid in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the trash compactor scene, he's just so, like,
whiny
and annoying.
The pitch of his voice gets,
or, like
so
when he's trying
weird.
To use the lightsaber with that little thing that's, like, shooting at him, he's so annoying. And Han Solo doesn't look like that much older than him, and he's calling him like kid the whole time. But I guess Harrison Ford was a lot older. I don't know. But is all the acting like out the window for you when you rewatch A New Hope? Or do you think like some
I feel like
I don't think it's all out.
I mean, I think that Ben does. I mean, Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi is like old Ben. I think he's. I was, like, in awe. I was like, you're carrying this movie. Like, he was so good to me.
I think he was nominated for that role. Yeah, he's really good in it.
He's so good. He's, like, it's so subtle, but by the end, you're just like, you were such an important part of the arc of this film, and you were so good in your role, and I loved every bit of it. So, yeah, I feel like he's magic.
Yes.
And I think Harrison Ford is great.
I haven't gone by that name in a long time. What? Yeah, Harrison Ford is just, like, there's never been a hotter person than Harrison Ford when he pops in as Han Solo. Like, the first scene with Greedo is so... He's just so fucking charismatic, too.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so
just
good.
Cleavage, too. And
I actually think, you know, like, what really stands out in the first movie, especially for Star Wars, is actually, like, the henchmen that work for Darth Vader. Like, a lot of the, like, admirals and stuff, and, like, Grand Moff... Well, I guess Grand Moff Tarkin isn't in the first one, but... No, he is. I think Grand Moff Tarkin is in it. But anyways, I think they're great. So, for Dune, though...
Yeah.
Do you, so I always wonder this. So, like, I think that Denis Villeneuve has always gotten great actors around him. But I wonder what Dune would be like if he didn't go for, like, all the biggest stars.
I don't think they'd be doing as good a job as they
Shit. We got our first Dune pun of the night. But I just wonder what those movies would be like. Like, if you don't have an Oscar Isaac and you don't have, like, a Javier Bardem or Josh Brolin in these roles, and then you don't have, like, Zendaya and Rebecca Ferguson and Timothy Chalamet, who are these huge young-ish stars. I guess Rebecca Ferguson is a bit older, but she is, like, kind of like
she's still this generation star. Right now doing her thing for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if you listened to the I think it was like the Big Picture episode about Dune Part 2. And I can't remember exactly what it is they said, but I loved what they said about this because they acknowledge this too. And they're like, this was going to make or break Dune casting this cast. And I think it absolutely was like a part of the making of this movie. Like having a celebrity cast like this was like a part of the feel of the movie. And I did feel that when I was watching it, like it created a sense of like star power while I was watching it that made it engaging. And I think that could have not worked for sure. There could have been a cast where I was like too taken out. Cause I was like, that's Zendaya. And that's all I could think about. But I feel like all of them stepped up to the plate so hard and really invested in their roles that it just felt like star power to me. It didn't feel like I was looking at Timmy or Zendaya or Florence in part two, obviously, but it just felt like I was excited as opposed to feeling like they were these famous
and I
people.
Think it probably speaks to the direction of the movie too.
Like yeah,
the,
for
the
sure.
director, like he put together, again, he has like a vision and he collaboratively, if you're going to have stars that big and have them, you know, not all have enormous roles in the film.
Yeah, Javier Bardem is barely in the first one.
Yeah, Zendaya doesn't appear until...
She's Michi.
Yeah, who is Michi? In case anybody wasn't aware.
No, she doesn't appear... Well, she appears at the beginning, and then in Visions, and then at the end.
Yeah. She's like seven like minutes of the first movie, I think.
Oh, that's crazy.
And you have to have a certain level of... buy-in, and that comes from being open to sharing your vision and being a leader in that way. You know, in For a way sure. that I'm sure George Lucas had a vision and carried it out, but also his vision wasn't necessarily to have this like amazing artistic body that he was going to create. It was let's build a world that is inviting and fun, but also serious and engaging and unique. And, you know, he for sure did that, but it's different than it's just different goals, different end goals for each director.
I think you're right because there's a lot more of the world in Star Wars. There's so much around it that it doesn't matter who you are casting. You do need to have some charismatic actors, but it's funny when you go back and know that like a lot of those people were nobodies or they were like rising stars, but they weren't rising stars that are at the level of like Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. And then with the Dune movies, like there, a part of me is like, oh yeah, they need to get this right because it's been years. They're remaking it. Essentially, it was a total failure when David Lynch did it and he used some big stars at the time. And going into it, you're like, oh, they have to get this right. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, the character who plays Dr. Liet Kynes and Jamis are like total. I mean, I probably have seen them in a few things. I wouldn't say the average film goer is
Gabe's like
seen
I have.
Them. Yeah, well, I'm special. But like there's all these people in these like small bit parts that fucking crush it. They are so good. Or even like Rebecca Ferguson, who had been kind of a big star. Like if you left Dune Part 1 and Dune and sorry, I need to correct it. It's actually just Dune. It's not Dune colon Part 1. It's only the second one that is. But if you left the first two movies not talking about Rebecca Ferguson, you weren't watching those movies because she is just remarkable in these movies. And she's not like a huge, she wasn't a household name before it. No. She was definitely recognized by a lot of people, but
I feel like people could probably only recognize her by her face, honestly. I don't feel like she was that huge yet.
They'd be like, the Mission Impossible bitch? Are you kidding? But
Greatest Showman.
Yeah, Greatest Showman. That's it. Or she's something the Hat, Nat the Hat or something in that Dr. Sleep movie. Fuck that movie. Anyways, it is interesting.
She's really good in that movie, but that movie is not really good.
I mean,
IMO.
Yeah, agreed. The thing is like that he was able, he takes these fantastic actors and it doesn't feel too much like he's like overusing these stars. But there is this part of me that's like, couldn't we make this with brand new actors? Like totally new to the game. And yeah, it's a big gamble at this point. A lot of studios aren't doing that, so I don't know. But what they both did, I mean, George Lucas was able to, like,
I think you can,
yeah, I mean, fair, but George Lucas was able to do it and he should get some praise for what he brought out of those actors, even if the performances aren't on the level of the performances in Dune.
Okay.
Concur?
I can get behind that.
Okay. Well, get
behind
this.
He got good stuff out of them, clearly.
Yeah. Well, let's finish this off. Let's talk about legacy. Let's just talk about how these things have aged over time. So, Star Wars, as we've kind of talked about, Layla, a little bit harder when you rewatch it as you get older and older. It gets a little outdated and stuff. There's obviously so many valuable parts of Star Wars that we keep rewatching A New Hope. Like, no one's rewatching Force Awakens unless they're trying to just watch all of them in a row. No one's watching Phantom Menace unless they're trying to watch all of them in a row. But people do watch A New Hope all the time. Do we feel like Dune Part 1 is going to have that kind of feeling when we get down to it? Like, say he only does 3 movies, or say they do the other wacky books afterwards. Like, it, especially after Dune Part 2, are you still going to return to Dune Part 1, like, on your own?
I don't think it'll be in the same way that people watched A New Hope. It's so hard to say. I mean, I think that it's going to certainly live on simply because I think when people go back, like, let's say it's been a while, I think when they go back to Dune, they might very well be willing to do a part one and a part two rewatch. Like, I do think they go so hand in hand. Although I do think part two is going to be the big rewatch when people go back to watch Dune if they want to watch something. I don't think it'll have the same impact. I feel like, one, as we've said, A New Hope is just so much easier to throw on, and it's like it has levity and it's fun, and everyone can sit down and enjoy it, and not people aren't gonna. I think there are certain audiences that will absolutely want to put Dune Part 1 on. Like I said, I was very shocked at how much I enjoyed watching Dune Part 1 on rewatch. I watched it twice before watching Part 2, and I watched it within like a week of itself, and I enjoyed rewatching it twice in a row within a week.
I don't understand how people think it's boring. It is like,
which I was shocked by, but I think that's partially because like I forgot how much happens in the first one, and like,
oh, for sure,
it really, pacing wise, is consistently really great. And I think, I don't know, I think you just kind of forget it, but then once you're engaged, you're in it. So I feel like the issue legacy-wise that it's going to come across is that I think everyone's going to assume it's just a builder movie and not put it on. But I feel like if they did put it on, they would really, really enjoy themselves on rewatch. So
totally,
it's a little early to tell, but I don't think it's going to have in any way the same kind of a legacy that A New Hope does. I feel like A New Hope is just too, like, easy and enjoyable to like even be comparable when it comes to rewatching or like throwing it on all the time.
For sure.
No, and like what it spawned and created, and honestly, like what it did to audiences in the 70s when it came out, is just not something that Dune, you know, partly timing wise the year after the pandemic, and partly just it's just not designed to do that to audiences. Its sequel did. Almost. Dune 2 was, I mean, people saw it 78 times or whatever.
Yeah.
In theaters.
I
like,
wish I did.
It didn't have that effect, but its legacy is probably not best defined in terms of how rewatchable and how often people are going to rewatch it. It's probably defined by the trilogy that, or whatever.
Yeah, I think the trilogy and like what it does for film. Like, we always kind of come back to that. But I think it'll always be talked about, I think, in sci-fi and in these conversations around like sci-fi films, 100%. And I think in the sense of rewatch, it'll always be talked about and watched as a trilogy, but maybe not solo.
And I completely agree. I enjoyed it. I rewatched it before I saw Dune 2, and then I rewatched it again yesterday, and I enjoyed it both times. And there are just, like, the pacing is incredible. There are certain scenes that are just blow you away in a way that, you know, A New Hope's not going to do. But at the same time, A New Hope is like my third favorite of the original trilogy. Like, I like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi more.
Yeah, I think I'm there too. I was going to also, like, Do you, so we can go back and watch A New Hope or any of the original trilogy and have lots of like, here are all the nitpicks we have and all the flaws and stuff. Do you have nitpicks for part one now that you've rewatched it? Like, are there, of Dune? Do you think that there's like we're going to get way down the line and rewatch Dune and be like, well, that's kind of stupid and that's kind of stupid? Because I don't really have a lot.
No.
If anything, you're really picking.
You can pick apart some of the Timmy lines that we were quoting today while we were golfing.
Bene Gesserit made me a freak!
Some of the way he says some things is very Luke Skywalker-y, in the way that like when he raises his voice, it's not...
I do think...
It doesn't always work, because he's...
I might be alone in this, but I think the voice sounds dumb as fuck. Like, the Bene Gesserit voice, it's like...
Oh, it freaks me the fuck out.
Give me the water!
It doesn't sound like that.
It's a little bit. There's a couple of them that are like that.
You know, I did. I was telling these guys, listener.
Thank you.
Mostly listened to it because it was playing on the TV behind me as I wrote reports for work.
Yeah.
By design, so I don't get distracted by the thing on TV while I'm working. Mm-hmm. But there was one point where someone uses a voice, and I was like, "That sounds silly." And
it sounds silly.
It's like, okay, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I like envisioned the voice to be when I was reading the book, and I think that's part of it. And then I think when they did it, I was like, oh, and that's like not what I had anticipated. Just like Mickey Mouse, but then it like worked for me because I couldn't even picture what it was when I read it. So I think they just gave me something, and I liked that. I don't know.
Force from the voice. Damn, George.
Well, they got the force from...
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
The Bene Gesserit. Yeah, like what? The power that the Bene Gesserit...
But
like,
does he call it the force because it's just so easy to...
Because like, you're forcing people to do things.
Force you to do anything.
yeah, exactly. Dang, dude. George Lucas, sneaky weasel.
You little weasel,
big,
dude.
Fat weasel, you.
Yeah. I was thinking... I guess I have one nitpick. This is so stupid, but I think that they make the Arrakis troops look so fucking cool in their armor. Like with the, like their armor looks so cool. It kind of looks like cardboard or really cool. Like the gray, like the way that it's like made on it. Tight. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a lot
of
like
all the things you could do with cardboard. Cardboard's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't love cardboard? The fact that, I work for Big Cardboard. I don't love the fact that you see all of these things built up to get none of it because they're ambushed. And that's the only thing you ever get. Like, the coolest scene that you get of any of them is Duncan Idaho just being an absolute G in that room. Like, you get a lot of the shield stuff. It works when you see him do it, but you're not really getting it from anyone else because they get ambushed. That's by nature of the story. But for me, it's kind of like, oh, you're building up all this really fucking cool shit that's never going to be seen. Like maybe in Dune Messiah, if and when he makes that, we'll see the Iraqi or the Atreides uniforms and stuff. But you really don't get to see them in action. Like he's not what's his name. Actually, I won't spoil the second movie, but you don't see it in the second movie is all I'll say. And I just think there's a lot of like stuff that's really cool world building that you never really see again. Like, or another one is like the Baron Harkonnen's pet, that little like creature thing that's like drinking and they're like, is your pet going to be joining us or whatever? It's like, leave us with the voice, or it's like, leave us.
I'm really glad that's what you want to see more of, though, the pet.
Well, I was just like, why show me this fucking cool-ass creature that's creepy?
Freaking freak you.
Is it just because Baron
Harkonnen like,
is like a weirdo?
Can I say, though, like, that is so sci-fi writing, though. Like, they're actually, if anything, sticking to sci-fi so hard by doing that because the books do the same thing. They introduce something, they don't explain it or tell you anything else, and they're like, just live with it. So,
There's a line that's a little nitpicky. Go ahead, Layla, though.
Sorry. Go ahead. There's a line. Is that what you said?
There's just one. Duncan Idaho goes, I've never been that close to dying.
And that line really cracked me up this time.
There are
really
some lines by him that...
I've never been that close to dying.
Joking, like, okay, the joking, the humor in it is like almost not of its world.
He's yeah.
Like, you look at kind
I mean,
of
his character, like, I would say, yeah. is probably the most out of place character. Like, it doesn't
but he is
feel
good.
Like...
he's just like
great.
A dude.
Yeah.
No, he's great.
But he is
he
out
just
of
feels
place,
like
right.
a regular dude in an action
he's just
movie.
Like
that's
a friggin'
big...
He's just
a
friggin' big dog.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've never been that close.
They fight like demons.
Yeah, when he says
another
demons,
line that I love
like,
is Josh
know what
Brolin
demons
when
are?
He goes, "You've never seen a Harkonnen before. They're brutal." It's like, dude, relax.
The
it's
demons
10
line,
in the morning.
yeah. It is. It's like he's a little plucked out of something else and put into the movie. But
yeah, okay. Well, let's close it out. But before we do our own scores of these. Categories that we were talking about. I want to know, in any era, at any time, you're a movie studio. I'm not even talking about profits. You want to make the coolest movie possible. You're going to give this director $250 to $300 million. Is it, do you think it's Denny? Do you think it's Christopher Nolan? Do you think it's Spielberg? Do you think it's George Lucas? Do you think it's Kubrick? I mean, Kubrick is gonna not need that much money for his, but like out making a big action epic, who do you give that money to? Who's Papa right now?
I think return on investment.
No, okay, we could do a return on investment thing.
You're looking at Lucas and Spielberg for sure.
For sure. Although Christopher Nolan made a billion
I was just about to say Nolan. I was like, we can't forget about Nolan right now. I feel
Nolan
like-
doesn't have a theme park.
That's true.
There's no theme park ride
That's
for
true.
Christopher
you
Nolan
can't even
movie.
Get the
because Nolan's too
like
dark
one,
for
yeah.
theme parks.
Exactly. True. Return on investment. You want the softies making the hero journey again and again and
I
again.
I thought we were.
Again
I just. I'm saying this for the sake of what movie I want. So
I
want to
see
I'm
the
saying,
best epic movie of all time.
I'm thinking economics.
Yeah, you are thinking economics. Yeah, I think probably right now either Nolan. I would also I think say Denis just because I'm still so obsessed with Arrival and I feel like
yeah.
he just.
Oh yeah,
like
I'm going. I mean, yeah, if that's it, it's
such
Denis
cool
for me,
stuff. So like,
yeah. I think I'm also there. Like, I also just think that Denis's movies don't slip into a like. I love Christopher Nolan, one of my favorite directors. I love a lot of his movies. You can pick apart a lot of his movies. There are flaws in all of them, and they're very apparent. Denis has flaws, as any director does, but I'm not going to pick apart his movies in the same way that I pick apart Christopher Nolan.
You just,
and you're not
you going to
make fun
me.
Of Denis like we would make fun of Christopher Nolan.
This is exactly, you just reminded, this is exactly the point I wanted to make when you asked about nitpicks. I don't think it would be as easy to nitpick Denis because of how meticulous he is as a creator. Like, I think
so meticulous.
He, everything about the first movie is intentional for the second, and going back to your point, Nick, I do definitely think Lucas made the first one like he was never going to get a green light for any other ones, and so like he wasn't intentional with every single thing that
he
did. He
literally
he wasn't
comes back
sure.
and does the same thing again in the third one.
I mean, yeah,
for the climax.
True.
He's like, you know what worked really well? The blowing up the big thing.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you're right. Like, he actually
how
he
I did
planned
that
out
that one, huh?
whole movie. Whereas, like, Denis took this big, big gamble. Because when Blade Runner 2049 came out, like, film heads loved that movie. But it was not a success.
No.
And he took this huge gamble. And then, you're right. If you watch Dune Part 2, it pays off so well. Because there are literal visions you see in the first one that are recreated in the second, and it's like, oh, he had this mapped out. This was always going to be a two-parter.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah. There was no chance he was just going to do this in one. I agree. I also am like, I probably Spielberg at his best is still Spielberg at his best. Like, if I can get a fucking ET out of someone, I'm going to give them $300 million. But I really there's an appreciation I have
story.
For both. Not
sorry,
a West Side Story.
I had to.
I mean, Christopher Nolan and Denis are also the two guys that are like they really care about practical effects. Like they are going to use some CGI, but you're not even going to know that it's CGI.
But where's the theme park ride?
True,
just we're saying.
Not going to make
priorities. Priorities.
Just saying.
It's because we like darker movies lately.
Why
like
can't I? Me, why like, can't I pay $25 to harvest my own friggin' spice? You know what I mean?
That's true.
And take it home in a little bucket that's for true. My kids.
It's called fucking cocaine. It's it. Or cocaine with like a hallucinogen in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about, like, let's go through those categories or whatever.
It's actually just Burning
scores.
Man. Sorry. The
yeah, it's just Burning it's Man. Actually just Burning Man. Yeah, that's that.
And why then, can't I just, like, make sandcastles out of spice? And
I'm trying to think of, like, what Christopher
Nolan's like, blue eye contacts
and, like, Inception.
And piss into my suit.
Legoland.
Yeah. Or, like, corporate America. Your dreams. Okay, let's talk about all those movies. We're going to give them a score out of 35, and we're going to think about, like, what we're giving. So
yeah.
Each of those categories is out of 7. Originality, eye candy, acting, spectacularity, legacy. You could give a 7 for each of those, and then a 35 in total. How would you allocate? Give me an answer in 10 seconds.
I'm probably shaving 5 or 6 off of A New Hope, mostly in the categories of like the eye candy category, the originality category for sure. Probably knock 2 or 3 off of that category. So you're looking at like a 29-ish. And then Dune, maybe shave off a little for legacy because it's so overshadowed by its sequel, I think, in the long run. And maybe a bit for spectacularity because of the layman, not to be confused with the Fremen. And so you're probably looking at like 31, 30. I'm going to say 29 to 30. Dune gets the...
I'm going to say A New Hope 32.
You're only knocking 3 off?
Yeah, I'm basically just going to take 1 off of acting, 1 off
only
of...
Only 1?
Because
you're not taking anything off of original.
They created,
I mean,
all these people like become this big thing. Like he found them. These
but isn't
characters
that like
are
legacy,
but it's like
because
I'm thinking about the characters and performances, and like I'm always gonna think about them. Like we were building off of that.
Yeah.
All right. I might take 1 off of originality, but only that because I don't like the script. Sure, the world. Yes, like not that original, but. We wouldn't have, like, there was nothing like Star Wars. And Star Wars created franchise entertainment, essentially.
Well,
so
Star Trek existed, but...
I guess Star Trek, yeah. But, like, it didn't look as cool, and only fucking dorks watch Star Trek. And then I'm going to take 1 off of... no, I actually might just... No, you know what? I'm going to give it a 5 for acting, and then I'll give it a 6 for... originality, and then I'm just gonna say it's a 32 out of 35. Dune, I'm so
I think I'm just gonna give it 25.
Star Wars. A New Hope, you're gonna give it 25 out of 35.
Podcast is over.
This is
sorry,
fucked
guys.
Up.
Wait, there's 5
you
categories,
have,
right?
You have
so
recency
if I
bias.
Well, if there's 5 categories, right?
Yeah.
If you I give 5 in all of them, that's 25.
Even 5s in all of them?
You so, would
well,
give
I mean,
it
I'm not,
one
I'm
of those
being,
influential
being,
movies of all
I'm
time?
I'm not being exact. I'm just saying, like, if okay. It were to be 5-ish for all of them.
You're just going to ruin, you're going to crush my whole childhood?
Well, like you
why
said.
Why don't you just go, why don't you just go like to my mom's storage unit and just what? Smash up all my toys?
My dog is having a nightmare right yeah. Now on the ground because of what you just said.
Yeah, he's throwing up now.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have to acknowledge, like you said, that of the 3 originals, it's not my favorite. So, like, I can't okay. Give it high perfect scores because it's not my favorite of the
you
originals.
You are high as a kite on spice. You are spiced out of your mind.
Yeah, you're spiced out of your mind.
Well, that was fun.
I will give Dune a 33.
You really doing it like that?
No, I'm going to give it a 32.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give them the same.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 30.
Yeah, maybe I'll go
see,
a little
what
bit
I
lower.
Did.
But dude, this is really stupid. We tried out something new. We're going to go back to our
I
normal
didn't hate
structure.
It. I'm just going to put it
I
out
didn't
there.
Hate it either.
I didn't hate it.
Okay, but what would you rate these movies out of 10, each of them? Nick, go.
Oh, for the love of Pete. I don't know, man.
A New Hope. What do you give it? Out of 10.
8.9.
Okay.
Oh, we're going like IMDb on this.
I don't know. 8 point friggin'.
8.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's solid. I'm going to go 8.7, actually.
I would do 8.7. And then Dune, I would do
freaking Copycat McGee over
9.
Here. What's going on?
Dune, dude? Or Dune, the first one, I'd give a 9. And part 2, I'd give like a 9.5.
Yeah, I'd give the first one a 9.
It's just unbelievable. On that note, I want to say that everyone, if you have listened to this whole episode and you haven't seen part 2 yet, and you're waiting to watch it at home, just know
then
that
you're
we don't
doing
like
it
you
wrong.
As
it's
much
a nine,
anymore.
It's a 9.7.
You have to see it in theaters. If you're watching it at home, it's...
You will never understand.
Wrong.
You'll never know.
You're doing it wrong.
You won't understand the way it feels when the worms fucking come through. You won't understand...
There was a tick where I wasn't sure where you're going to stop that sentence.
Yeah,
and I thought you were going to stop and not say... I thought you were just going to say...
Oh, the worm.
Yeah.
Something.
Just the worm.
No, definitely go see Dune Part 2. If you were
you guys
whatever about Dune Part 1,
the worm orgy.
Watch
it's
both of them
crazy.
Together. They're so great. It's the worm orgy is insane. Layla, big sci-fi nerd. We've kind of talked about sci-fi in the past. Do you have any like big, like under the radar type suggestions that
worm
you would give?
Destroys the Death
oh
Star
my God.
The second time.
Based on like.
I feel like you need to go first because I was not prepared. So you start.
Okay. Worms
well,
destroy
so
the
prepared.
Shield on Yavin 4. Sorry.
Well, I would, first of all, I think that people should watch the show Foundation if they're kind of interested in this. I think that Foundation is kind of not doing enough quickly enough. Like if Foundation ends up being like 5 seasons, it's going to be amazing.
Did you say it wasn't? It's not doing
but
enough?
But it's not going to, and we're going to look back and be like, well, you guys should have fucking handled this beforehand. But Foundation is really cool world building. It has kind of a more practical side of it that, like, Dune does, and it's more about politics and sociological issues. So I recommend that. I can't recommend it enough. I'm almost done with the 6th book. The Red Rising series is so fucking good. Very clearly taken from Dune, but so much more fucked up. I love those books. I think you can read the original trilogy and be fine. I think if you keep going with the second trilogy, like you can treat them as separate things, you will be well rewarded. They are very good. You could just zip through them. They're long, but you could zip through them. They're very heavy, though. Physically and emotionally. And lastly, you know what I've been thinking about? I think there's a lot of people that would say this. I think the new Planet of the Apes series, like, I don't know what's going to happen with this new one. It doesn't look that good. But the Rise, Dawn, and War for the Planet of the Apes, those movies are very underappreciated and undervalued, and they are really fucking good. I rewatched Rise of the Planet of the Apes because I thought that was the weak link, and I loved it. But Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, one of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made. Fact.
I'm loving this coming
those
from
are my
you,
recommendations.
Gabe. I'm really enjoying
yeah.
this.
They're really phenomenal films.
Koba is
also,
no ape, okay?
Koba
but
is
also,
no ape.
You reminded me. I feel like we should talk about the trailers that are coming out around these movies right now, because I feel like a lot of them are like sci-fi movies. Cause what's it called? Is it called Civil War? What's that?
The Alex Garland one,
the Alex
Civil
Garland
War
movie, the
great.
Civil
I'm
War.
See it soon.
There's also Furiosa, which looks not great to me, but that's also coming out.
But I also thought Mad Max Fury Road looked like the greatest movie ever. And I thought it was good. And a lot of people think it is the greatest movie ever. So who knows?
I am not one of them.
Knows.
I feel like that was a loaded sentence that you just said. There was something underneath.
There's something hidden. Sentence. I don't want to piss off all fans out there of Fury Road.
Also, this is very random, but I went and saw Godzilla X Kong this weekend.
Okay.
And
you didn't invite me? I would have flown to Chicago. Do you know how hard it is for me to find someone to watch that movie with here? No one will see the damn movie.
Really enjoyable, guys. I had a good time.
No, it wasn't. No,
I'm
it was not.
Furious right now, dude. This is the second time I wanted to flip this table
audience.
Over.
We swear we're giving really good suggestions here. We're gonna ignore that.
Okay, but also, who's seeing Monkey Man this weekend? I'm so excited.
Seeing it on Friday. I rose the hand that is off the screen, so you couldn't see it.
I'm very excited. Dev Patel rocks. I also think people should be watching Three Body Problem. It's very interesting.
I haven't seen one or two Body Problem, though.
That's great. We're going to wrap this up, folks. We had a blast. We're talking about two of the best sci-fi movies ever. But just wait. We got other movies that are the best movies ever. Some of them are going to be the worst movies ever. Keep following us. We're back. We're going to start pumping these out.
What was
look us
be
up.
Chub?
I swear to God, I'm a professional.
You are
spiced
out.
You can follow us on Instagram. Go look up Facing Off Pod. You can send us an email for suggestions, or like say we totally missed the mark with these movies or some other ideas that you have. FacingOffPodcast@gmail.com. Nick, send off.
What's in the box?
Pain.
What's in the box?
Pain.
What's in the box?
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.